The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Dude, bro, I don't. Center yourself. Center yourself.
I am centered.
Center yourself. This is so bad. Okay, hold on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am a little flustered today. This is Goldie's Closet episode 53, and I was told by Vince Russo to not show any cleavage today and to not have any bikinis on because my guest tonight could not handle it. So I had on this whole robe gimmick, right? And then I got up here. And it's too hot, and I had on red lipstick, and then I took it off, and it's bleeding, and now I put this color on that's too dark, and it looks like I have a mustache. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, one of probably the greatest guests that we're ever going to have, and you're ever going to see on Goldie's Closet. Put your hands together for...
High praise.
Dude, you're probably so shot and tired, and it's the end. And I always look like shit at the end of the day, and I'm just like, nope, we're doing this.
Yeah, we got to do it. Yeah, I've been getting over being sick, and then, you know, like the world crumbling around us, so it's
okay,
all the week.
Fix the head. Fix the head. There you go. Not that. Oh, my God, dude. Bro, you're so your dad.
Am I?
It's a little terrifying. I've known your pops for a long, long time. We need to take it back. We need to take it back. This story, there's so much to the story that has never been told before. We're gonna leave this for a brand exclusive because
brand exclusive.
I was dating a real POS. Won't get into that, but it was the first time that I ever let this SOB alone, and all hell broke loose. And I went to go visit you guys somewhere in Georgia.
And then he
cheated on me the whole time, and that's what started. Coming to visit you, coming to stay with your mom and dad started the whole, like, because otherwise he was with me all the time. But now, yeah. So it's, you are the catalyst to probably the worst time period of my life.
Oh, no. Hopefully it's better since then.
It's a lot better since
then. Hopefully it's been uphill since then.
It has been. So I get to Marietta, Georgia, and I'm trying to think of how old you were then.
Oh, man. That was like probably what? Like 2004?
It was 2004, so I don't even know how old you would have been.
Like 16.
How old were you?
16.
Okay, yeah, I just remember, because your dad was like, oh, let me tell you, Will, he had the hots for you. I'm like, nah.
Sounds like something you would say.
And no, he's like, yeah, just don't wear the bikini on the show, you know, you don't want to, you know, I'm like, yeah, like, I'm going to have your kid on and be like, wearing my cleavage sack, Vince.
Yeah. Do you wear bikinis on his shows? Or your show?
Oh, yeah. No, it started out as a joke, and then every once in a while now I do it just because it helps with the ratings. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, anything for your dad, you know.
Yeah, men are pigs, you know, like, I'm sure it helps.
I had an audition for a dominatrix role, so I had the black wig on that I wore in TNA sometimes, and then, you know, the whole get-up, and then I decided... It was time to do Bucket Full of Chicken Necks. And I was like, I'm just going to go on as this. And like your dad was like, oh, what a beautiful day. A wig and cleavage. It doesn't get any better than this, ladies and gentlemen. He's just like such a...
Well, he's usually got Jeff to look at. So I'm sure you're a breath of fresh air.
I like Jeff Lane.
I like Jeff too.
I think he's so perfect as a sidekick. Do you even know about wrestling, Will?
Oh, I mean, God, yes.
Do you?
What do you mean? What's going on now?
I mean, is it something that you truly are passionate about, or is it just because it's something that you grew up in and you know about it?
I mean, I am not passionate about it at all.
Would you give a F or not?
I couldn't give two Fs.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like I'm in this weird vortex now because of my dad, and because I put myself out on social media, and like I work with people who are around it. Like I know what's going on and stuff, but I'm still like, I just don't. It's not my cup of tea.
What do you talk about on your show? Because we're all so busy. You don't even know about Cleavage Monday. We're all so busy doing our own content that it's very hard to, and I don't take insult to that at all. Like, it's really hard to even make your own podcasts and then edit it and get stuff done. Like, it's tricky. Mm-hmm. So what is your show even about that you do?
With my dad? Mm-hmm. Oh, that show, it's just kind of us shooting the shit. I mean, it's called the Bro Show, Bro, and it's just basically like you're getting a front row seat to basically a conversation between me and Vince Russo, like unedited and kind of off the cuff. We don't do too much planning. I want to get better at that. We have some topics, but mm-hmm. I'm sure he doesn't really do that much planning with his other shows. So, I mean,
it's sometimes, just talking. Sometimes it's good to plan, and then sometimes, like, I have really great conversations with my father that I wish people could hear. He's so educated and so wise, and he was a parole officer for 30 years in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and just has so many stories and such a different take, and he's a little cynical on things, and you know, he does come on my podcast every once in a while. What's it like with your grandfather now? How old is your grandpa?
Oh, man. He's 89. He's up there.
Do you worry about him? Do you talk to him a lot? Do you get a chance?
I'd make sure to call him maybe like once a month. I don't think my other siblings really call him as much.
You gotta do more than once a month. Get on the wagon.
I gotta call him like once a week. But, you know, he's healthy and he stays active and God bless him, you know. Like, I mean, Where does he live? He lives in Ocala.
Where's that?
In Florida.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's at least healthy for him.
Yeah.
Your dad is always tweaked out about death. He really talks about that a lot.
He needs to go see a shrink.
What's that?
He should go see a shrink.
Do you worry about death?
I feel like this week has been awful because between the coronavirus and what happened in Nashville with the tornado. And
that's where I am.
Oh, you're in Nashville?
I'm in Nashville and I'm having a really bad day and I don't even want to. I'll insult people if I tell them why I'm having a bad day and I'll tell you why I'm having a bad day. Doesn't apply to a couple of the brand members that were very kind. When something like this happens, every idiot comes out of the woodwork. Like, same in school when somebody dies. Everybody's crying. Everybody's carrying on. They don't give a flying shit. They just want to join in the reindeer games and sensationalize it. And I have friends that are dead and their places are completely demolished. You can't get anywhere today. And it's like people are calling me to ask me if I'm okay. It's like I've posted on social media. Somebody said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes." And then it's like, then it says right there, and then you're going to DM me. There's like, and I sound like I'm being an asshole, but like, I haven't talked to you in 8 freaking years. Mm-hmm. You don't care about me. You're not in my life or in my circle. Why the hell would you reach out to me and ask me if I'm okay when you don't give 2 shits, you know? And there's all these people are just going on and on. It's like, if you want to go on and on, get your freaking ass down to, it's the farmer's market where the Red Cross has set up cots and is collecting things and go down there and see what you can do or bring people some stuff today where I could get to. I brought treats and pastries and cheap stuff that I could afford that I know would comfort people. And, you know, it's just put your money where your mouth is and don't just go on and pray for Nashville. What the fuck are you doing? Like, go do something about it. Don't just call up everybody and bug them. But, dude, bro, I heard from every ex-douchebag boyfriend today, every ex-bandmate, which is fine if they don't live here. They know it came through Old Hickory, which is where I live. It came through Mount Juliet, which is just down the road. And then it went through East Nashville and just demolished it. If it's people that I actually give a shit about or care about, I'm honored that you would check on me. But it's just the same old, like, trolls that are like, you don't care, you know? Yeah. So did you have anybody in Nashville that got...
You know, I lived in Nashville for a year because I worked for TNA. So
that's right, you did.
Yeah, I worked there for like 2011 to 2012.
Where did you live?
I want to say it was called Hermitage.
That's where I live, right down the block from Old Hickory.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Old Hickory is kind of familiar. I mean, I live like when I first moved there. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter if I talk about this shit. I live with Matt Conway. So I literally lived in Nashville and I live like 5 minutes from that office of
TNA. Okay.
Are that Lucia?
No, I'm right here.
I don't know why I went full screen.
Yeah, because I'm itching my nose. Thanks for calling. Okay. Thanks for highlighting my problem. But Matt Conway, I don't even know who that is. So he's a wrestler.
He was like my dad's protege at TNA back in the day. He was like my dad was like grooming him to be like a writer or something.
Wow, why don't I know about this? So you stayed with him.
I lived with him for about 3-ish months. And then something happened where, like, one of his old roommates was moving in and I wasn't privy to it. So I got kicked out. Yeah, it's fine. I was kind of kicked out. So that was like a whole nother story. My dad was a little bit hot at him. And then I ended up living with a guy I worked with for the rest, the remainder of my time. And then long story short, you know, I had to leave the company because of good old Vinnie Roo. So
what do you mean because of good old Vinnie Roo?
I don't even remember what really I think he was leaving TNA. Something had happened. And then basically they were going to fire me out of like spite or something just because I was this kid, you know.
So that's really shitty.
I had to call up my boss and just be like, look, I'm pretty sure they're going to let me go. So I'm just putting in my notice now. And then that was the end of it.
What's the worst crap that you experienced in the business?
The
was
worst?
It just some stuff with like TNA or wrestling that you just kind of shake your head at and you just think like, what was that? I mean, I've got a bag full of it.
I mean, I guess you could say the worst I've experienced was when I was younger and my dad was on the road a lot and I didn't really see him because he was working all the time. That was probably maybe the worst.
Do you hold that against him, or now that you're a dad, do you understand why he did what he did?
I people ask me that a lot. I understand why he did what he did. I don't have his work ethic, though. I am like night and day. Like,
really?
I cannot do. Like, I work with guys who are on the road every week, and I just don't know how they do it. I mean, a lot of them, you know, I have a daughter. Like, a lot of them don't have wives and they don't have children. So I get it. They're single and they're doing their thing. But that would not be my cup of tea, I don't think.
But your dad really was a road warrior.
He was. I don't know. You know, he always plays the victim. Like, he hated every second of it. So I don't know, like, what version of history to, like, believe anymore. Because I have to believe that maybe at first he really dug it, you know, and he was kind of carving a name out for himself. And they were winning in the ratings war, and he was seeing his stuff on TV. I'm sure he got a little high from it, and he enjoyed it. But I think it obviously became more grating on him as time went on.
Let's go back to Marietta, Georgia.
Okay, we got off track.
I show up, and it is, I believe we went to the Mellow Mushroom. Do you remember it?
I don't remember the kind of.
Wasn't there a pizza place that we went to?
That's about right. There's a pizza place that was close to my house that we really liked.
And your sister, Annie.
Annie, yeah.
She
your hair or something.
I think I made her hair look like Bret Michaels.
Yeah, you did some. You put some beads in her hair.
I think I did something in a bandana. I'm remembering a bandana, and your sister made me some sort of decorative tile. That's what I remember. How old is your sister now?
Oh man, oh shit! I'm so bad with like ages off the top of my head.
Well, I mean, I have no idea. Like,
25?
Oh, 25?
Yeah,
she's an old lady then. Yeah.
She's out in Colorado. Yeah.
Oh, so she's by your dad.
Yeah, my whole family's out in Colorado.
Where are you?
I'm in Georgia.
You're still in Georgia?
Yeah.
Where? Yeah. Or you can't say.
No, I mean, it's okay. I'm kind of close to the new Brave Stadium in Smyrna.
To Atlanta. No?
Oh, you're in Atlanta?
I go through to McDonough all the time, so I go up 75, 70, whatever it is.
I'm more south of there, but yeah.
Okay. Do you even see any of the wrestlers anymore?
Oh, yeah. I see a lot. I see a lot of talent, yeah.
Alan Funk was just here. Alan Funk just stayed up here. Okay. We did a project together.
Oh, wow.
Right, I'm going through some of my questions. We have somebody on Twitter that somebody was asking about your dad and all that. So I got all that covered. And you're like, I got to ask this all the time. There you go. He gets assessed all the time.
Did I answer the question correctly?
Yeah, you did. It's enough. Enough of it.
Yeah.
Some people want to know what does he say? I think you liked it. It was on Twitter. I've got all these different accounts. Will, what bad habit annoys your wife the most? First off, how long have you even been married?
Oh man, I've been married almost 4 years now.
What's that like? Because when I came and I saw you, your mom was so cool. And like, you know, wouldn't you think like, who's this Goldilocks, yeah, coming to my house? Like, your mom was just like, because I mean, clearly, no offense, I wasn't interested in your dad. you know what I'm saying? Like, people always think if a female enters into the equation that there's got to be something funky going on. And I really did love your dad as a talent, and your dad showed a lot of interest in me as a personality and an actress. And, you know, he wanted to highlight that. He wanted to develop it and write things with me. And that's why I came, and I really had a great time. And your mom was just so, why is her name slipping my mind?
Amy.
Oh, it is Amy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Annie, but I think your dad called her Anna once or something. I don't know why I said that, but.
Well, yeah, I guess her name's Anna Mary, so.
Oh, it is. See, I'm not that crazy.
Yeah, no, everyone calls her Annie.
Yeah, your mom was so cool and just like no funny business. And your dad just always speaks so highly of your mom. Like there's no funkiness. Like so many men speak ill of their partners or they make cracks or jokes about their wives. I don't think I've ever heard your dad say one thing other than your mom has just been a complete rock for your family.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's a saint, man.
Is she?
Yeah, I mean, she was raised Baptist, and I mean, her mother is like...
She's married to your dad, okay.
I know, I don't get it either, but, you know, my grandma, like, they went to church their whole life, so they were super, super religious, so I'm sure her upbringing kind of, like, bled into her personality a lot.
When you grew up seeing your mom and dad's relationship, but then you said that I've got this freaking bug that just keeps floating around, no. It's kind of creepy... But you saw a really good relationship with your mom and dad when they were around, I'm assuming. Because, I mean, I've been around and it was your mom is very even-kiltered, very calm. Do you think, does that really help you with your marriage? And you've been married 4 years. I've never been married. I probably never will be. What's it like?
Seeing my parents, like, is that what you're asking me?
I'm just saying, seeing a good family, obviously that rubs off on your relationship, right? You guys are good.
We're good, you know. I mean, we've been together since high school, though.
So I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's like my high school sweetheart. So we've been through thick and thin.
No.
We've been long distance. We've kind of been through it all. So
when you lived in Nashville, where was she then?
She's been in Georgia the whole time.
The whole time, and that was your long distance?
No. I lived in Colorado too.
I'm looking at my questions right now.
That's fine.
I keep thinking that you're
weird, like not looking at somebody doing this. It's like doing a radio interview or something.
You think it's weird what now?
When your face isn't on the screen, like it's weird just talking. Like I mean, it's fine. Yeah, it's just
if your I have voice. To itch or if it's like I want to highlight exactly everything that you're talking about, I do that.
Oh, okay.
Where are you? You're in the basement. You got a guitar back there.
Yeah, I'm in my little man cave down here.
And you know what we talked about? We gotta. It doesn't have to be on this show, but we got to figure out, you know. And you said there's something on Twitch that we can do that with.
I know. I didn't have a chance to do that, but we'll do that.
No, we'll do it. No, it's coming. Like we just need to figure out what gimmick that we're gonna do.
Okay.
I got some questions for you, just because I like to catch up with people because I haven't talked or seen you forever, but I like to do it on my podcast because content is good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, yeah, I had this whole robe gimmick on. It was really cool. It had big kissy lips on, and I had this big red lipstick on. But I got up here, and it's too hot. And I was, like, sweating, and I was like, this isn't comfortable at all. I could just see, like...
Yeah. So are you on, like, Patreon, too?
No, I need to. I don't... Are you on Patreon or just with your dad?
I just do the thing with my dad. I'm not on it, personally.
I am thinking about Patreon, but I want to get all my ducks in a row. And
make some bank.
Well, everybody's like, oh, well, you can perform and do all that. I'm like, do you know how much work that is to do? And then it's really, I'm trying to figure out how I would do a song, maybe a bunch of them at the same time. And then I have to put some on my social media for free. Mm-hmm. And then what's available to Patreon. But, you know, I have a lot of men in the Middle East that send me pictures of their ball sacks. And
yeah, I saw your tweet the other day.
Yeah.
About that.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of ball sacks and a lot of nut sacks that I get. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe they might enjoy a Goldilocks band acoustic set or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, the ball sacks are just getting.
Now, does that like deeply like affect you? Do you just have to like brush it off and just be like, this disgusting?
There's a couple people that it's just so far gone. Like, I mean, I'm sure he'll never watch this, but it's just, it's really interesting. And the thing that really, like, honestly creeps me out, and this is one of the questions that I was going to ask you, is just, you have a daughter now, you know, it's got to be weird.
Yeah.
And different. Like, do you see women or females differently now that you have this little big girl?
I don't, you know, I feel like an asshole. Like, I don't know if I see women differently, but I think what I think about is, like, I have a buddy who, he's kind of like the playboy type, let's say. He sleeps around a good amount and stuff like that.
Does he have a porn stash like you?
No, he doesn't have a porn stash like me. He wishes, but he doesn't.
Okay, he sleeps around.
But he sleeps around. And I've known this guy since like middle school. So he's one of my good buddies.
He's been sleeping around for a long time.
Huh?
He's been sleeping around for a long time.
Oh, yeah. He's the kind of guy, he just like does not want to settle down no matter what, you know?
You know what? I am totally cool with that as long as you disclose it.
Yeah.
As long as you...
Well, I don't want to go into him too much. I think he kind of leads a lot of these women on, though.
Okay, well, that's not cool, but keep going.
But I guess what I'm getting at is just having a daughter now, I'm like, I pray she doesn't become... I don't know, but I hope she doesn't become one of these women who, like, fall for a guy who's just, like, a fucking asshole or something. I could curse on this show, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, like, that's what irks me now. Like, I'm afraid I'm going to have a daughter who's just going to be like, I don't know. I mean, hopefully I think
you'll teach her good stuff. There's nothing worse than having, when my dad sees my heart broken, though, like, he was on the phone when I put down my cat, and I was in a fetal position on the ground. They couldn't kill it. Yeah. Like, they just kept trying. It was 3.5 pounds. It was so dehydrated from cancer that they couldn't get the IV in, and I was just like, I was calling my dad. I was like, Dad, will you please pray with me? Please, will you just say the rosary? And I couldn't stand to see it. And then finally they came at it with the big needle in the heart. And I just was like, I was on the ground. He was like, yeah, you were really messed up that day. I'm like, yeah, that was my cat. Since your dad was in the office, the TNA, walk into the asylum, into that locker room, weird first little thing to the left when you come through the fairground doors.
God, it was
like Jeff Jarrett's office, or like the lady that that did the hold on, you talk for a second while I clear my throat.
Yeah. I'm just gonna go back to the asylum and remember how it
That's where it was. That's where it was. And there was the lady that did the concessions. She was an older lady. She had white hair. I can't remember her name.
I kind of remember that. I kind of know what you're talking about.
There we go. I got it. So anyway, it was to the left when you walked in. They'd been trying to call me through the whole pay-per-view to let me know that the cat that I had, Quichette, which is the same looking one as the one that just died last Christmas, Quichette was sick and they needed to get it to an ER, to the animal hospital. Did I want to pay? Here's me calivanting around, you know, doing all my online interviewing, and I didn't get back to the border. And by the time I got through, the cat would already died. So I was like, I'm a cat killer. Like, I was just like, I don't deserve an animal. I'm not responsible. And I just remember, like, just freaking out in a chair, like, just snot everywhere. And here comes your dad. Oh, don't cry, you know, come on. Like, he was like, he was on his knees and he was like trying to pat me on the back. And then some other big wrestler came in and he's like, Goldie, don't cry. And your dad was like, no, you're not going to cry. And what can we do? We'll take you to Hooters. Go down to Hooters downtown. You know, he's like in his accent. I'm like, that was your dad was trying so hard to console me. And all he could think about was, let's go to Hooters.
Well, let's go to Hooters.
And get some wings and we'll talk about your cat. You know, he was so great and so sweet. And I'll always remember that.
Wow.
There is nothing like seeing, I know from my dad's eyes, seeing me upset. And I had Francine, ECW Francine, on last week for the podcast, which will air this week. And she actually started crying. Just reminiscing about how mean some people were. And the thing that just creeps me out is, like, I posted a photo last week, Ballsack Monday. It was just getting nutsacks. And I turned it into, instead of nutsacks, let's turn it into Cleavage Monday. So I encouraged women that would never take a picture in their bra or their bathing suit or their bikini, send one to me. I want to see it. I want to see you in all your glory. And then I would ask, can I post this? And then, like, guys would get on there and they got it. Most, for the most part, they got, like, let's empower some of these women who maybe never would take a photo like that, or feeling a little risque or a little naughty. And then people who have 8 friends, I've got pages that tap out at 5K. Here's a chance for them to shine and to be in an arena where they're going to get some attention. And for the most part, Will, everybody was, and then here come these creepy motherfucking jizz rags.
Yeah.
And we've just got a, and it's just like, did you just discover that you have a penis tonight?
Yeah.
Or, like, have you ever even been in the same room with a woman?
Yeah.
Like, it's so beyond filthy, creepy, not sexy. Just, you want to go take a shower. And that's what
Neanderthals, like, has any woman, any, like, responded to that? I don't even get the thought process behind it.
One guy got on there and was so disgusting. And he publicly posted, it wasn't even my bikini picture. It was just long pants, a long sleeve shirt, collar, and a blazer and a hat. And it was like a cool outfit for Easter. Mm-hmm. And I'm blogging about it for my influencer page. And he got on there and he's like, ugh, I like what's in your pants.
God.
And I was like, so I screenshotted it and I posted his comment. And I'm like, hey, Joe Blow, what exactly do you mean by this? Like, what are you trying to say? And then he got on there and he's like, oh, you've lost a fan tonight, Goldilocks. I'm like, I don't use the word fan. You're not even on my friends list. I say supporter or friend. And then he was like, how dare you single me out? And then I went down and I tried to like the comments on the ladies' pictures and show some love. Here he's popping up every time. Just like, you can just tell. Keyboard in one hand, dick in the other. You know, just like, it's so creepy.
Yeah.
Gross. Like, I think, you know, if I walked in buck-ass naked with some of these marks, what would, I think they'd have a heart attack. Like, I don't think they even know what to do. Like, their dink would just dribble doo-doo, you know? So freaking, and then
I mean, you know, they probably don't talk to women and they're socially awkward and
just get on my page
and
make sure that you comment on every photo, you freak. Extreme Francine, I was getting like really weird.
What page is this? Is this what is this a part of?
Is what now?
What page is it on YouTube?
Oh, the with the ladies?
Yeah.
Facebook, one of my Facebook pages.
Oh, a Facebook page. Okay.
I've got all these fake Facebook pages that in case anything ever happened that I make myself an admin on them.
Yeah.
So I call them different names. And like, people really think my name is Jane Moore, M-O-R-E.
Okay.
Like, and then it's like, there's one guy that gets on there every day and he sends me stuff that says, I want the best for Jane Moore. I wish the best for Jane Moore. And I'm like, dude. And then now on the Goldilocks page, there's all these people that are like, because I commented, hey, do you have any questions for Will? And they're like, Jane, we're glad that you're okay. I'm like, I can't take it, bro. It's
so,
like.
So my dad gets like the hate mail stuff. Do you get stuff like that or you just get people just being gross?
Totally gross. I get hate mail. I get hate mail from women. I get hate mail from everybody. And it's just, it's. When you hate somebody that bad, that's a direct reflection of how you feel about yourself. And I feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
And your dad, it's like he hasn't even been in that wrestling realm ring for so long. Like people are, I got to tell you, I wouldn't tell your dad this, but like I had somebody on the show and they're a prominent in a different entertainment arena. And so they were sharing the promo. And then one of their friends who saw the promo is a wrestling mark. And they came up and gave this guy a talking to, like, just make sure you don't get mixed up with Russo. As if being on my podcast one time, which falls underneath your dad's umbrella and then under the realm, as if now they're going to be doing the dance. And I just was like, you're out of your freaking mind.
Yeah.
How, like, and your dad says he lets it roll off, but I know that it's there's no way humanly possible, like, some of the stuff that people say to us that it can. You're just like.
Yeah, well, Disco always kind of seems to, and I know he's a character into himself, but he always seems to talk of, like, it's not even worth discussing. Like, you got to look at these people's, like, how many followers do they have? It's like, oh, they have like 10 followers, and just like you could brush it off that quick. But I think I could only speak for myself here, and I'm sure my dad's the same, but I think, you know, we're both kind of like. Everybody is like sensitive to that kind of stuff. I know I've had people comment on my stuff before and be like, someone called me like a waste of cum, like a cum stained mustache, like just like all this shit. And like, I wish I could like be but you know, it like pisses me off. And I think one guy I wrote back, I was like, does this make you feel better about yourself? And then he's just like, you know, he writes back, like, I got your number now, like, I'm coming for you. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here, you know? So
I went home to Minnesota one time and I was reading comments and I got really upset. And my dad's like, oh, geez, Moan, let me just tell you, just got to let it roll off your back like, you know, water off a duck's back. And I'm like, oh, okay, Dad. Yeah. He's like, I'm just telling you, Moan, you got to slow down and you got to relax. Got to relax. He's always telling me to relax. And I was like, all right, Dad, that's cool. And then I got another one. He's like, let me see what you're getting so upset about. And I was like, okay, sure. Here you go.
Yeah.
And it was, I think they said, your mom deserved to die because you're such a fat, ugly, fucking whore. I hope she's rotting in the earth and the maggots are eating out her C-U-N-T.
Good Lord.
And my dad just was like, ah,
yeah.
And he was like, let's shut him up, man. I'm like, oh, wait, Dad, you got to relax.
Yeah.
You got to let the water roll off your back like a duck or whatever. Yeah. Saying. Yeah. Like, I mean, to say that they hope maggots eat out my mom's, I was just, who? And then another time, I told this story to Francine. I did TLC's Extreme Cheapskates. I did the Master Cleanse for like 4 weeks before where you don't eat anything. So I lost like 17 pounds. My skin was super clear and I felt really confident about myself. This is something that you'll relate to as a dad with a daughter, because someday, 10, 15 years from now, you'll remember this story, because I was so proud of myself and so happy. And somebody left a comment. They'll go to the band's YouTube page, or I think it was on TLC's YouTube rerun page or something. And they just said, what an old sack of shit Goldilocks is. God, she used to be hot. What happened to her? She just looks like she's so old that why would she even, again, like your cum stained jizz rag thing. Like, why would she even show her face on camera or something like that? And Will, I remember just like, It affected me for like a couple years. Like, I carried that around with me, and I just thought, I guess I'm not good enough to be on TV anymore. And then I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, I know. These people, you don't even know who the fuck they are. It's just,
and like, he's got some random like gamer name on his YouTube thing. You can't find him anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's just like, did you want to work in wrestling and you couldn't even make it in the indies? Or did TNA reject you? Or why would you ever say something? So, and I find myself wanting to say some mean stuff and then I erase it. And
that's what I do all the time.
You have to. There's some,
especially when I see stuff all the time of people like discrediting my dad. And like, you know, when I go down his feed and I'm just like, I'll start typing something and I'm just like, it's not even worth it.
Oh, they would love it.
Yeah. They want it. It's like ammo.
The only attention that they'll probably ever get. Francine was on the show. I did Cleavage Monday yesterday, and I think I'm probably gonna try to do it every Monday. It seems like people enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's tacky, but like, it's my audience, you know, so
yeah,
be that as it may.
So how long have you been doing this social media or the Goldie's Closet thing?
How long have I been doing Goldie's Closet?
Yeah,
this is a 53rd episode.
Oh, wow. So like a year, you do one a week or what?
Do one a week, and usually it's in my closet, but I'm too lazy to, when I do this, it's just wherever I'm at. Like, I did it downstairs, but like, I'll have people in like my closet with full cameras and lights, and it's crazy. Garth Brooks's daughter came out of my closet. Everybody comes in or out of my closet. What I was going to tell you is, though, when Francine came on, I started getting some really interesting people following, and this one guy, he just looked so freaking creepy. And I was like, all right, well, I always thank people for following me. You know, thanks for following me and have a great day. Stay golden. I went to his page and I usually like one or two things. Will, I almost threw up. Like, everything was a very, very large woman getting fingered.
Oh, God.
That was his fetish. Like, very large women with hands in areas that I didn't want to see.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I blocked him because I don't ever want to see that shit again.
Yeah.
I don't. So I tend to get really, really, and it's so like Silence of the Lambs. It puts the lotion on the basket. Like, it's like, those are the kind of people, like, weird guys with muffin tops that are really plump, and then like little white socks.
little white socks.
Like, they always have to have like little white socks in their profile, and they're just like really creepy. And you wonder, like, underneath this big thing on their stomach, like, how do they go to the bathroom?
Yeah, I know. They're
that's a lot of work to lift stuff up to even find what you need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Questions for Will. It's gone downhill fast. Let's go to the questions. Hold on, I got them.
No, I got these sick images in my head.
Welcome to my world.
It's just awful.
You have a daughter now, and it has to be weird. What's the weirdest thing about beautiful, weird? When you had your kid, what was this defining moment where you were just like, oh, shit? Like, and you thought of something that you were just like, you know, I think about stuff like that I've screwed up, or I could have done better, or that you have a little girl. What's just some weird aha moment that you had? Because I don't have any kids, so I have to live vicariously through this.
Like when she was born, or just like
anything? Just something that came to mind where you're like, oh, God, this is my daughter, and
I don't know. It's just like, I guess, you know, like I usually would live a life where I don't know if it was like just one aha moment, but it was just kind of like, holy shit, like I have a kid now and, you know, I'm a dad now. It doesn't feel that way because I feel like I'm still kind of the same dude. I don't know if it radically has changed me. I mean, my dad has said, you know, he's seen me kind of take on more responsibility and mature. So maybe it has, and I just haven't noticed it. But I don't know. I don't know if I really had like a moment.
The closest thing I have like is my dad. That's who I have. And now that I see him getting older, I see so many things where I'm like, oh, or like I freak out thinking about his mortality.
Yeah.
I freak out thinking about him freaking out about his mortality. Like
this whole mortality thing is like killing me lately, man.
Well, your dad worries about it so much.
And he always says stuff like on his shows, like, you know, his mother's passed away, and he says stuff like he can't even think about it because it would just mess him up too much. And that's kind of, I don't know, that's just like, I don't know what the word is. It's really weird to me because, I mean, obviously, I mean, I grew up around her, but, you know, she had dementia, so I kind of didn't, I wasn't there when she left, when she went too, and he was there with her. So I'm sure it was a very intense moment for him.
This is your grandma.
This is my grandma. This is Jim. We were talking about him. This is his wife. But, you know, luckily, you know, I haven't really had to deal with too much tragedy in my life.
You're so young, though. That's just it. Yeah. Like I said, I freak out thinking about my dad waking up and thinking, how much longer do I have? And my dad is so vibrant. Like your grandfather, it sounds like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wish we could just keep people around forever. But then what a crowded world that would be.
Yeah.
But yeah. I worry about that, like, for my dad. Like, that's my aha moment, is that my dad is a human being. He's not just my dad. Mm-hmm. He's somebody with his own feelings, and he still talks about, like, I got to get this going, and I got to get this going. And I just think, you know, you're going to be 80 years old soon, Dad. Yeah. You know, like, how many more years does he really have? I hope he has as many as your grandfather and then some. And then I feel pressure that I better get my shit together and make more money so I can take care of him. I have this immense pressure. Do you have that pressure as a dad that you're supposed to be doing more and more? Are you content?
I think I've always had a personal pressure. Like, I always seem to be doing more. I mean, luckily my wife has a good job and she takes, you know, we're both working parents. So we make it work, and thank God we don't really have any issues. But I mean, I'm starting to think more like, you know, I definitely need to start planning for the future, which is something I don't do really well, at least financially.
Well, at least you're thinking about it. God, I'm how old, and I'm just starting to figure out, like, I better get on that Patreon thing and save some money.
Patreon thing. It seems like
you know what I want to do? I want to do, for some Patreon, I literally want to do, your dad says he does calls. I would be really great at calls. Mm-hmm. I love talking to people. I want to call. I would like to be somebody's like virtual friend. I'd like to do a check-in with people and keep a database of their kids and their family or what's going on. And I'd love to be able to give advice one-on-one to people. I really would. And do some videos for that. And of course, musical stuff and all kinds of stuff. But
I just want to finish up like with what I'm saying to you, like with the whole time thing. I guess we're kind of around that. Like, you know, my daughter turned like 18 months today. So she's like 1.5 now. And it's just like, it's just stuff like that, I think, like, hits me more and more like, holy shit, she's 1.5, you know. And like, I'll have moments with my dad because he lives out in Colorado. So, you know, he doesn't get to we visit when we can, but I probably see him every like 6 months or whatever.
Your dad in person, but you see him on Patreon. And
I see him on the FaceTime like once a week.
Yes.
But I don't see him in person, you know, maybe like twice to 2-3 times a year. And it's just stuff like that that gets me really like sentimental. Like,
even now, you're so young to be sentimental.
Well, I know. It's like, I've always been that way. I've always kind of thought of myself as like a romantic. Like when I was younger, you know, my grandparents, you know, they used to live in Florida. My grandfather still does. And every time we left him, because we'd see him like once or twice a year, and it used to just like rip my heart out. Like, I just hated leaving my grandfather, you know? So I think that was kind of how I was when I was younger. And like now, you know, like when I leave my parents now, I don't get upset like I have in the past, but it still is kind of upsetting to me.
When I go to the airport and my dad drops me off, I literally choke up every time.
I
do, because I lost my mom. So I always wonder, is that like the last time I'm going to see him, or it's really It's freaky. One of the questions that I was going to ask you is, did your dad say, I love you growing up? Or did he show you in a way that was peculiar? Mine never said, I love you. Yeah. Never verbally. But he had a weird way, of saying it. So what did you experience as a kid? Was your dad vocal saying, I love you, Will?
Well, like, from my memory, you know, he never really was really vocal about it.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like he used to cut promos on me a lot in high school, to be completely honest.
Oh.
before he was saved. Before Jesus, Vince, if we want to call him that.
So what kind of a promo would your dad cut on you in high school?
Oh, he'd call me lazy and, you know, like, you're not going to do anything. And you're, you know, like I love my friends and I still hang out with a lot of the same friends. So he'll kind of say this stuff now, too. It's just like, bro, it's because you hung out with Brandon all those years, bro. That's why you're still living in Georgia, bro. That's why
you're married. Dude, I can totally hear your dad saying that. Oh,
bro,
my God.
That's why you're married to the same girl you knew in high school, bro. So, like, he'll say kind of mean shit sometimes. But he would buy me, like, video games, so that's cool. You know, he'd buy me, like, Donkey Kong Country.
He let you listen to Jack Black. That's all he did.
Yeah, he let me watch South Park, like, and stuff like that. So I think that was his way of being, like, the cool dad, you know?
My dad always said, he never said I love you growing up, but he said it through music. He would he would play his guitar on his bed and, like, I don't know if he'd coax me in. That sounds kind of weird, but, like, this little kid would always come in and I'd sit down on the edge of the bed next to him and we'd sing and I'd harmonize. But that was his way of either saying I love you or saying I'm sorry. Mm. I don't think my dad said he was sorry to me until a couple years ago. Like, for anything. Like, I'm really sorry. He's so different now. Like, it's so weird.
And I don't mean to, like, I'm not trying to make any personal.
Yeah.
Like, did you have to go, have you gone to, like, therapy or anything like that?
Have I gone to therapy?
Yeah.
For my dad?
Well, I mean, have you gone to therapy?
I went to therapy for a very abusive guy that I dated. We went to couples therapy. Mm-hmm. And then he was so abusive to me in the couples therapy but it was a husband and wife doing the couples therapy that mm-hmm. both the husband and the wife said, we don't want to see you both anymore. They said, we'll see Goldie. The wife said, I'll see Goldie. And then the husband said, Dan, oops, I shouldn't say his name, whatever. He can come see me. And it was just so bad. He was so abusive to me that, like, they would just shake their heads, look at each other and be like, why are you even dating this guy? He can't even, like, fake it during therapy. Like he's the good guy. He was just like, she said, if I was dating you, I'd kill myself. Like, she's like, you're basically, like, you're horrible. So when I started going to her as just a single person, it was really, really great. And I'm a huge advocate for people that can afford. And even if you can't afford therapy, because that is somebody who has gone to school,
sure,
and is an authority and an expert and a professional on studying and understanding human behavior. Mm-hmm. And there is so much that somebody that's their job can ascertain by just listening to you.
You get, like, an unbiased opinion too.
And it's like, there's no reason other than to help, because that's mm-hmm. what their job is. And I've gotten so much from so many beautiful people that I've talked to. Or I don't like it when people analyze me, like, just, oh, I've watched your stuff. And I'm just like, fuck off. It's a brand. Mm-hmm. You don't know who I am and you don't know me. So just can it. But for people that are sincere and have offered some really good stuff. And, you know, my dad was very, very abused growing up, very abused. And that's probably why I've never had kids. I was like, I'm stopping this cycle. This shit ain't happening again. Like, it's not. And I knew when I was growing up, like, this isn't right. There was some things that weren't right. But then again, my dad, with this brand new baby, went off the Mississippi Bridge and was in a hospital for 2.5 years, strung up, being constructed, reconstructed with bionics and skin grafts from people on the... He was in severe pain. He still is. He was crabby. He's a little kid running around. I mean, I get it. Like, we did not get along at all growing up. And then I don't tell this story a lot, but I was going to be emancipated at 16. Wow. And the shit hit the fan. And you know what? He 180'd.
Yeah.
180'd. People say you can't change, can't teach a dog, old dog new tricks. Yes, you can. That dog has to be willing to want to change. My dad is the greatest man I could ever hope to have as a father. He's on my podcast. He's wonderful. And it just goes to show you, if somebody does want to change, they can. But the flip side of that is, if you want somebody to change, then you got to draw the line in the sand and set boundaries and an ultimatum and have some balls. And I've always had balls of steel. Like, I wasn't put up with any shit.
Like these guys, you sound like you've been in some crazy relationships. Is it because you've been around kind of like the rock and roll and wrestling world?
I had one really great long relationship, and the guy was really broken. And I think I'm a caretaker, Will, and I want to fix. And there was nothing to fix with somebody on 12 antidepressants. You know, it's like he was self-medicating, and he was a hot mess. It was just suicidal, and I can't. And then I just finally got out of that, and then I went into another one, like right after that, and that's the one that, you know, you guys helped in Marietta, Georgia. And then I thought, this guy is really broken, but I was like, well, I'd better stay in it. I'd better stick with him because I don't want to just abandon him like I did the last guy. But he was super abusive and cheating and awful and in the wrestling business and bleh.
Yeah.
And I just thought I could fix it, and I don't want to abandon people. And now I would love to be in a relationship with someone. I would love to date somebody. But let me tell you, bro, I ain't putting up with any bullshit.
Yeah.
I work my ass off. I am very frugal. I live meagerly. I hustle. I'm all about building a brand, creating businesses, starting up startups, trademarks. If you even say utter one word about, oh, well, when are you going to give that up? Or, you know, aren't you getting a little old for doing it? Fuck off. There's people that are 90 that are out in a great space, making good money, building their brand. It's like there's all this space out there for whatever it is that you want to do in your profession. There's way up high, there's way down low, and there's all this middle ground. Don't you dare tell me what I'm going to and not going to do. And that's what so many men see a strong woman, and they want to just control.
Yeah.
And I got no time for it. Or alcoholic, constantly high, drugged out, addicted. I don't care if you watch porn, but not like all day. Gambling. So many vices and so many problems. I like to work, but I always stop working for people that I love and care about. You put a date on the calendar, I'm there. So I am a workaholic, but I make a ton of time for my family and friends. Love, love, love. Other than that, I can't think of any. I don't have like any, and people are like, oh, you must have a vice. I'm like, I really don't. And I don't care to team up with somebody that I can get a disease from or, you know, somebody seems cool and they're making meth in their bathtub. I'm like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Another guy that we were going to hire was like, oh, I think they should legalize heroin and cocaine and meth. They should legalize it. And I'm like, why would you do that? And he goes, well, then the people that use wouldn't feel so badly about themselves and they wouldn't be shamed. And I'm like, oh, so for your 18th birthday, you know, you guys can just have a big party at the house and get some meth, you know, it's legal.
Yeah.
He didn't get it. And it's just like, I'm not even going to try to explain that. So why did you ask me about therapy? Because you're probably like, bitch, you need
No. I mean, and I don't want you to think like I'm making a judgment on you. It's just because, to be completely honest with you, you know, like I know my dad struggled with depression a lot and he still does. And I feel like I struggle with a lot of the same stuff. And I kind of find myself in the same patterns every so often. And I just kind of want to break the pattern. And I've tried antidepressants and they really didn't work for me. So
you got to figure out what it is and why. And like, is it something that is... is it clinical? Is it hereditary? Is it nurture versus, you know, nature, whatever it is? Is it something that you saw? Like, I find myself, I wake up ridiculously happy. Like, dude, I am like just on top of the world every morning. Like, what are we doing? Where are we going? And then my depression comes from people shitting on me and being cruel and mean. And I'm just like, huh? You said what about me? You did what? Like people that are supposedly friends or coworkers or just mean shit. And then at the end of the night, if there's people in business that I have to deal with, I get really down. And if I even have a suicidal thought, because I do, and I'll admit it, I would never do anything about it. But it's always because I get so spinning downward down because of how people are mean to me. And I start out so happy. So I can at least identify why I get down and it's third party. Mm-hmm. You have to figure out, like, when you get down, like, is it because you're down on yourself, or is it because you're not making enough money, or is it because a lot of times when you do get down, there's a lot of things that you can do to fix that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think it just comes, there's like a lot of reasons. I mean, some stuff I don't want to go into here too much on the podcast, but I just think, like, you know, like you, and I've said this before with my dad, but like you were just kind of saying you're a workaholic, and my dad is very much a workaholic too, but you guys are kind of pushing your own brands. Like you never, my dad, and I'm not trying to lump you and my dad together.
No, go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but like, you guys don't seem to like, or at least for my dad, like he's the kind of person, I don't think he could work in a structured like 9-to-5 place.
So. I would not be able to do that, not because of any other reason than I have massive ADD. Mm. Like I have a real problem with it. I have to force myself to, you're not going to get up and piss, Goldie, until you finish this.
Yeah.
Because the minute that I go piss, I'll be like, oh, I can do 10 push-ups right now. And then I better run into here and I better... So I try to structure my day like a school day where I do an hour here, an hour there. Today, I spent an entire day pretty much on the phone and then on a website that I'm building. And then I'll edit a podcast later on the night. And then tomorrow it's going to be this and a little bit of that. Like I'm so like I have to. And people will say, which really gets under my skin, well, you're not focused. You're not fucking building a brand. And there's some people, I won't mention any names, but like they've got one thing. They're a one trick pony. And you know what? When people are bored of that and the same content on their wall day after day after day, and it's the same shit, well, you're dead.
Yeah.
So I can talk about Cleavage Monday. I can talk about the band. I can talk about Goldie's Closet. I can show clips from TNA. But then the smart thing to do is throw something in there, influencer wise or a gadget or something that people can click on and I can make some money on it.
Okay.
You know, and that's how I do it because people don't realize, yeah, I'm entertaining. Yeah, your dad's so entertaining. He's full of so much knowledge and wisdom and experience, but you gotta pay for that.
Yeah.
He gives away so much of it for free that if you're really interested in someone, support them. And I think he's got a lot of people that do, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, he's making a good living for himself. I mean, but he busts his ass to do that kind of
stuff. People don't realize how much work goes into it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, he does, I think he just added more shows and he's just like, he's always been that way though, you know?
Well, I'm glad that he's getting some more chicks on there. I got really jealous of
Francine. Yeah, I know.
Francine, I told her I got super jealous when I saw like all the guys popping. I'm like, oh, I do the show. Yeah. I try so hard. And here's this girl with her boobs and.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, ooh. And then I did a podcast, but I reached out. Like, that's how I get. When I don't get jealous of people, I get like, and then I think, oh, what can I do to like, how can we work together? What can I do to help? Or that's what I mean. I wake up every day, like, just so like, like a Muppet.
Wow.
And then it's people that just shit all over me that get me down. But I would really recommend taking time to talk to somebody because you have a very interesting childhood and it's not the norm, not that anybody's is, but when I was talking with Allie Colleen, Garth Brooks's daughter, you know, I mean, there was so many things she shared with me privately where it's just like, damn, that's gotta be really hard growing up in that. Like that's not normal.
Yeah.
You know? And my life was
I have a cousin who's around my age too, and he's just, you know, we're both like musicians and we have a lot of the same interests and stuff like that. And he grew up around my dad too. And this is not to piss on my dad in any respect, because he did a fine job raising me and such. But I think he from his perspective, he kind of just says a lot, like, you know, I don't think you realize like how critical your dad was of you growing up and how that's kind of like bled into your life, and maybe somewhere subconsciously it's still like messing with me, and I'm not able to put a pulse on it. It used to kind of if I had a bad day and, you know, me and my dad had an argument and if it was about whatever, but it would like shut me. This used to happen a lot too, and he thinks it's funny, but like on the brands, like, well, he'll talk about me or call me cheap, and to him it's oh, I'm doing a show, bro, come on. But like, it's kind of like what we said earlier about the social media stuff. It's like, yeah, but it still affects me, dude. It still hurts my feelings. Like, I'm just a human being like you.
That's like, your dad.
But he doesn't get, I mean, and I know in his heart of hearts, he's like, bro, you know I'm just kidding. I know he's just kidding. But all I'm just saying is, I think like some stuff you said to me in the past, like would really kind of bring me down for a while. And now when I'm kind of going through my funks and like me and him have a great relationship, I can't really pinpoint it to that. So I'm trying to dig deeper and figure out like maybe what it is.
You should. And it's actually really fun when you start to discover things. And then you have to realize like your dad is projecting so much stuff onto you, whether he wants to or not.
I mean, you know, that's a whole nother show into itself.
You know what I mean? He doesn't even, they don't even know like the shit that comes out of my dad's mouth. And my mom, God rest her soul, she'd go, Oh, your father. He's a prophet of doom. A prophet of doom. And he'd say like, and I'd say, Mom, you weren't around. You were at church. And I called and I ended up getting dad. Oh, your father. Oh, he's a prophet of gloom. Don't even listen. Like, because the stuff that he, so I told him, I was like, Dad, this company reached out to me and like, they're going to, you know, I'm going to be wearing their clothes and I'm going to be doing some endorsement stuff and they're going to give me a little bit of, oh, yeah? Well, they must not be a very big company if they're talking to you.
Oh, jeez.
So, like, so many times on stage when our drummer is by a microphone, he'll be like, must not be a very big show if they're coming to see you. Like, you know, it's like all my shit. It's so cool. We're best friends. And, like, just the stuff that he says to me that he knows that my mom said before she passed, and I share her wisdom. But some of the stuff that my dad said, what did he say to me the other day? Well, you know, you're not a genius at anything. You know, it was just going, I'm like, what? It was so bad. But I had the moment where I realized I'm a really talented kid and I made a lot of money growing up. And that's got to be hard for my dad to be able to stomach. And I know growing up, there was one week I got $350,000 in the mail.
Oh, wow.
And my dad was just like, he was angry.
Yeah.
He was angry at me. And you know what? Here's my dad, military, years of college, making what he makes at his shitty job with, you know, convicted felons, rapists, pedophiles, murderers. And here's his daughter coming in at, what was I, 12, 13? It was for the American Dairy Association. It was print. It was TV. It was radio. It was promo, circular in the magazine, Sunday paper. It was all the stuff. And that particular check was for $300,000, over $250,000.
Now, is this a shoot?
What's that?
Is this a shoot?
I did movies and commercials growing up. I made a lot of money, Will, and all that money went to keep my mom alive.
Oh, seriously. Wow.
My mom was terminally ill like my whole life, and like we kept her going way beyond what she... Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, when I was making that kind of dough, and I did Kentucky Fried Chicken, Hallmark, Dairy Queen, like big national brands that paid, Jolly Green Giant. I was the Hungry Hungry Hippo girl. I mean, every stupid childhood game that you see on like retro stuff, I was like on the box. Or I was on the very first Mac, kind of like a laptop computer. I was on the box of it. So, I mean,
can you look this stuff up online?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, it's scary. Wow. So, I mean, we're talking like lots of money. And I mean, my dad, he had a problem with that, but I recognized it. And when you sometimes like little lights will go off and you're like, oh, and then that's what kind of what we were talking about in the beginning of the podcast, that like that aha moment that, you know what? My dad is just a dude who wanted to be a musician, knocked up a chick that was way older than 15 years older than he was. Gave it up. He did the right thing. He stayed. I'm sure he was miserable. And then he sees his kid doing everything that he wanted to do. And there's got to be something in there that's proud. But then on the other side, like, and when your dad's giving you a hard time, he might be like kind of giving himself a hard time or talking.
We have much better relationship now. And I think me becoming a father, he's been like way more open and like saying stuff of like, you know, like I love you and I'm proud of you and stuff like
that. And that's another thing.
With that now.
You don't get to hear all the stuff that your dad says about you, like to me or to other people, or it's just like gush city.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that to you.
Yeah.
My dad isn't going to do some of the stuff he was saying. There was a funeral a couple of days ago and he was, you know, I told him that. I'm like, why are you telling them that? That's my personal shit with you, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm a big loser that you told him that. Like, seriously. Like, there's some stuff that I've been doing for some extra money because we have a huge video that's coming out. And this video has cost me thousands of dollars that I don't have. And if I don't have a big photo job or if I don't have a this or if I don't have that, dude, I'll go do an honest day's work doing whatever it is that I could look my parents in the face and say, well, then he's telling everybody in the family, oh, she's doing this and that. I'm like, I'm going to sound like a peasant girl to everybody. You're not telling them I'm doing all of this stuff to pay for, like, bringing talent in, hotels, plane tickets, you know? Mm-hmm. So you don't hear all the stuff that your dad says about you and gushes. He's beyond. And the things that you're not even realizing, too, like, he's got you on his brand, you know? I mean, that.
Well, and I think I'm so, like, I feel like, I mean, I don't feel like an asshole, but, like, you know, we do this show, and, like, I mean, I'm not as good as you with asking the questions and having the content. I just think to myself, like, who's watching this show? We're just, like, what are we even talking about, you know? But I'm really critical of myself, so I'm, like, my own worst critic. So.
You can't be, and you should go find somebody to talk to just because one of the best things that I ever got, best nugget that I ever took home from a therapist was when we were talking about things. And she would have me revert back and tell me about this and tell me about that. And she said, you have many gifts from the wound. And I was like, I think about that. I'm like, wow, that is really profound. Like, I've been so effed up my whole life by so many people that it's a lot of gifts that I have. Like the perception.
You seem like you're like a survivor or something.
Well, even in high school, bro. Like, I mean, bad. Those girls were before bullying was ever a word. I mean, just the worst thing that ever happened to me in high school is I worked for like QVC or the Home Shopping Network, and they had a store inside that anything anybody returned, a little ding or a nick, they would sell for like 90% off. So we're talking like herringbone gold bracelets, tennis bracelets that would be like $1,200, $1,300, $1,400, $1,500, and it would be like $90 or $150, 90% off. I think I spent $1,000 of my modeling money getting all these, you know, things that were at it. Nobody would ever know. You know, we can't tell. Mm-hmm. And I got all these girls. So it was like the equivalent of like $10,000 or $11,000 that I had for like my 16th year, sophomore year. I gave all these girls these Christmas gifts only to have them like talk behind my back. Like I heard them down the hallway, like laughing at me and saying I'm trying to buy my friendships with people because I'm so lame or I'm so ugly or they were just beyond. Or one girl came up to me in the bathroom and she was like, your hair is so pretty. And I was like, oh, thanks. It was a little awkward. She was cutting my hair. She was cutting big chunks out of my hair. And then some other girls brought me into the bathroom and like held my head back and were pouring chocolate milk down to choke me. They were holding me down on the back sink. Like, now I kick back, I hit them, and I walked out into the lunchroom like Carrie, covered in blood. It was chocolate milk, and those bitches got expelled like that. So,
oh wow.
So yeah, let me ask the last bit of my question.
Yeah.
I've kept you forever, and then we got to get you off.
Make sure I answer the questions.
We are over time. What are some of the idiosyncrasies? What are some of your idiosyncrasies? And what are some of your dad's? Do you think you've inherited any of them from?
Oh, I know I've inherited.
Give me a couple before we go.
Oh, God. I mean, I probably have, like, OCD. Like, when I leave the house now, like, I have to check the locks.
Is that because of your dad?
I don't know if it's. Well, he has, like, some weird tendencies. And, like, if something, you know, one thing I know we do share, it's, like, if something breaks or something's not working, like, that becomes, like, our focal point. Like, stupid, like my daughter has like pacifiers now, right? And she has like 7 of them, and like she likes carrying them around, so they're always like littered about the house. And like now, like my wife could attest to this, like it drives me crazy. I'm like, where are those 7 pacifiers? Like if I have 6, like I have to find the last one. So it's just
that's very interesting.
That's just shit like that.
I've never seen your dad like obsessed about stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, no, he is. He's obsessed about stuff like that. He just doesn't tell you, but I know he is.
Last question that I have before we respect your time. This has been long. You're so fun to talk to. You've given such a great interview. You're such a funny guy. And
you say that to everybody. Come on.
No, I don't. I don't. I like to have conversations with people on the podcast just so that I've got my questions outlined and I've got some from supporters. But then it's nice to see like where the conversation organically goes. And I've actually learned a ton from your dad, and I'm very grateful about podcasting. So what advice would you give to people wanting to become a parent or to new fathers?
I would just say brace yourself, because I feel like I'm in a weird spot, because like half of my friends don't have kids and don't ever want kids. And the other half of my friends like have kids, but I'm not really like close with them. So it's not like I have like an ongoing dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm going through this. What was this like? It's weird. Like they're just, I feel like my friends aren't as open with me as I'm more open with them as they are as open with me. That's okay. Just my personality. But I don't know. I you know, like my daughter's hitting like almost like that terrible two stage now you always hear about. And I'm waking up to like her crying and throwing temper tantrums, and I don't know what's wrong, and like, you know, losing sleep. And I think my advice would be just be like, you got, you know, hopefully you're with someone you love and you have a strong foundation and you have a good partner. And if you don't, I mean, it's just like raising kids is no joke. And I feel like,
do you think you're going to have more?
I really don't know if I want another one, to be honest with you.
My parents had one. That was enough.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And my wife, I know she wanted like a lot of kids, but we're seeing how much work one is, and we're
and
just
money.
Like, and oh dude, daycare. Don't even get me started. But,
how much is daycare?
Oh gosh. It's like $250 a week.
Dude, bro, that's like a house payment.
I know. Like that's the funny stuff. I think now I'm like, you know, I love my daughter. Like, no question. But it's just like, wow, that's $1,000 a month. Like I used to always have that I don't anymore. And it's just so weird. Like, but it's a lot of work, you know, and it goes back to like my dad, and I respect him for what he did to raise us and do what he had to do with work. And my mom was the one taking care of us at home while he was away most of the time. But I mean, and you know, I have a brother and sister, so she was raising three kids. But I just don't know how people do it. I have a buddy with two kids, and I'm just like, how are you like breathing? How are you sleeping? Like, and I think that's just a thing. Like, you kind of read it on you'll see it in articles, and if you have friends with kids. But I feel like that's like the one thing, even my parents, like, I just, there's nothing that prepares you for it, you know?
That's why I probably haven't done it.
Yeah. It's just,
and I listen to my girlfriend now, her kid is 16, and you know, she talked about going out and getting her car insurance, and I'm like, what? Like, I never even thought of all of this money that my parents were spending on all this weird stuff, like, oh my god, my health insurance and my car insurance and this and that. And it's just like, that's where I'm kicking myself, thinking I did pretty good with my mom, and I paid a lot of money to help her, but I wish I would have realized more before she died so I could have said thanks. I really do. Yeah.
Well, be nice to your parents is my story.
Be nice to your parents?
Yeah, tell them you love them.
Oh, God, and call your granddad more.
Yeah, I will.
Time. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been over an hour with the young Will Russo that I met when he was 15 or 16 years old.
Yeah.
Driving around, listening to Tenacious D, eating some pizza somewhere. I don't know where it was, but those were some good times.
They were.
I thank you for coming on the show, for giving the brand members just a little bit different look at you. I think that helps people. And then, you know, I've got a different perspective than your dad, believe it or not. Sometimes females bring out different things. And
unquestionably,
in the bros. And it's just good to see a different side of you. And we always want to close the show thanking everybody for your support. And I really can feel the love of the family, of the brand family. Gotten to know so many of you. Legit. Total shoot. Like, you're part of my world. You're part of my family, obviously part of the Russos. And we thank you. And we clap for you. Hey, clap for everybody.
Clap. A little golf clap.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Goldilocks, and we are inside Goldie's Closet. And I want to ask a favor of you all, whether you watch the show or not, if you come to our band shows, what have you. It's something that you can do to support, and it costs nothing and no time at all. If you shop on a very popular online website, I would really appreciate it if you would bookmark some of the items that you are shopping for. And if you could just simply do this. Go to goldieknows.blogspot.com. If you go over to the right, all the way to the bottom, the About Me section, there's a link. It just says I'm an Amazon affiliate. If you click on that, it takes you inside my umbrella, and everything that you order, I can earn just some help and support to keep all of this going, to keep the band going. We've got a hefty vehicle repair. It's pretty substantial. So it would be really great if you could remember my link. We get some support. It's that simple. I love you all. Thank you for making the time to stop by and check out everything that we're doing. Mwah.